Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. 25 salvations, 18 baptisms. That's something to get excited about. It wasn't just fun, man. It was a move of God. It was an incredible, incredible week. And I told those students there, and it just reminded me, like, they're not the next generation. These students are the now generation, and God's got big plans for them. And so it was so, so awesome. I'm excited just to see the fire that these students had and so many decisions that were made. And I just want to take a quick second and just say thank you to all of you who give to City Hope Church, because we're able to do stuff like this. We had students that couldn't afford to go, and we were able to take them with us, and we just had an amazing, amazing week. So thank you for giving through City Hope. And we had so many adults and leaders, volunteers who took vacation days from work, who took time away from their own family. So can we just show them a little love as well going? And it was so, so good. We're going back Monday, kids. We're going back again. I'm just kidding. Hey, thank you so much for being here. If this is one of your first times, my name's Bobby, and I would love to meet you. And just as you're learning more about us, we would love to learn more about you. We got a free gift for you. It's better than that medal that Kate gave out, I promise you. But we just want to say thanks for being here. Anybody ready for a word from God today? Anybody need a word from God today? All right. I told the students, I'm glad six of you are ready, but I told the students this week that if you want to get fed, you got to open your mouth, right? So it's okay if you want to shout a little bit today. All right. We can have fun in church. You can say amen. You can look at the person next to you and say, I hope you're listening. Like whatever you need to do today. It's okay, because I think God's got a word for us. All right. Today we're going to kind of focus on one word, and that word is joy. All right, joy is something that I would say all of us would agree that our world needs more of, right? We probably all need some joy in our lives. Joy seems to be a missing ingredient in our lives, but sometimes we can get joy and happiness mixed up, all right? And so today I brought a science experiment with me, all right? And I have been praying all week that this goes well. All right, and so I'm hoping that it goes well. But just to kind of give you an understanding, the difference between happiness and joy, all right? So anybody like loud noises? Anybody hate loud noises? Because you're getting ready to hear one. All right, so let me just break it down like this. Happiness. Happiness is my bald head friend here, all right? And do we look like twins? Do we look like... The happiness is kind of just in our lives, and all of us can say, you know, have times in our lives when we're happy and when things are going well, things good. Well, this candle, this fire here, kind of represents the hard things in life that every single one of us go through, right? Whether it's, you know, work issues, kid issues, relationship issues, you know, finances, whatever it is, the hard things that somebody cuts you off in traffic and you want to say some words that you shouldn't, like things that happen in your life, right, that you can't control, it just happens. Well, happiness, what happens to happiness when things come in your life that you can't control? If all I'm doing is searching for happiness, guess what happens? Scared me again. It got me. I knew it was coming. I jumped. What happens when hard times come in our life and we're just focused on happiness? What happens? It's real easy to get rid of the happiness, right? Somebody cuts you off. Somebody makes you mad. Somebody does something stupid around you, right? Because we all know that's going to happen. So happiness comes, but let me show you the difference between happiness and joy. Joy kind of looks like happiness on the outside, right? It kind of looks the same, but the reality is there's something different on the inside. There's something on the inside called joy that when life's trials come, Lord, please let this work. When life's trials come, look what happens. The hard things in life, they're not messing with the joy. I got joy. So what's the difference? It's what's on the inside. You see where I'm going? The joy that you and I can have in our lives isn't just go along with everything that happens in our world. Thank you. Everything that goes on in our world doesn't just diminish the joy, because it's something that I have different on the inside. It's not just happiness. I want to look today at the book of Philippians. So if you have your Bible, go to Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to look at this guy named Paul. And Paul was a guy who had a lot of joy. Now, let me explain to you what Paul was. Paul was a freak. He loved the Lord. He loved God. God changed his life. He was murdering Christians. He was persecuting Christians. And now all of a sudden he's writing letters and planting churches to Christians, all right, for Christians. And so Paul was a Jesus freak. He loved the Lord. And so he begins to write these letters to church people, the churches that he planted. And I want you to today, as we read this letter, find the joy, find the where he's going as he's speaking to these people, all right? So Philippians chapter 2, stand with me in the honor of the reading of the God's word together. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse 19. If you don't have your Bible, well, it'll be here on the screen. But follow along with me, beginning in verse 19. Now I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be encouraged by news about you. For I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. All seek their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, because he served with me in the gospel ministry like a son with a father. Therefore, I hope to send him as soon as I see how things are going with me. I'm confident in the Lord that I myself will also come soon. Verse 25, but I consider it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, as well as your messenger and minister to my need, since he has been longing for all of you and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. Indeed, he was so sick that he nearly died. However, God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Verse 28, for this reason, I'm very eager to send him, that you may rejoice again when you see him, and I may be less. Therefore, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and hold people like him in honor, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up what was lacking in your ministry to me. Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your words. Speak into our hearts, into our situation today. You know who we are. Lord, we stand here before you raw and needing you, God. Reign your presence in this place. Speak mightily to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I love Paul here. He has some unbelievable focus on Jesus. He has an unbelievable focus on Christ. If you've ever been to church, you probably know this, but maybe you've skipped over this. As Paul was writing this letter, let me tell you where Paul was. Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison writing this letter. Now talk about a joy killer, right? Talk about something that's not great. And let's just think about that situation for a minute. If you were being Paul and you were walking throughout the earth and you were sharing Christ and you were loving, you were trying to serve God with everything you got, and what you got in return was you have to go to prison, what would your response be? What would your attitude be? Like, really, God? Really? I'm out here serving you. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm telling people about you. And now I have to serve. You know, I'm in jail. I need a lawyer. There's this weird guy named Bubba. He keeps staring at me like, Lord, why did you put me here? Why am I here, God? And that's probably me and you, right? Most people, we'd lose focus. We would blame God and we would start saying, man, why? Why is this even happening? But not Paul. I love this about Paul. He's so eager to send Timothy and Epaphroditus to his church. He loved these people. He loved the Philippian people. And so he was like, hey, I'm in chains. I'm bound up. But listen, I'm going to send you some guys. I'm going to send you some people. And here's one of the greatest truths about Paul. His situation did not affect his submission. His situation did not affect his submission. Just because he was in jail, he didn't stop serving the Lord. He didn't stop being obedient to what God had put inside of his soul. He didn't lose all of his joy because of his situation. His obedience remained. But what about our lives? When things don't go the way that we want them to, what happens? I think for most of us, distance begins to creep in, right? We begin to get distant from God. We begin to have some separation. We begin to blame God, and we begin to lose focus, and distractions creep in, and doubt creeps in. And before we realize it, we're separated from the callings that God put on our life. Very easily, Paul could have sat in there and been like, man, you know what? I can't do anything now. I was living, I was doing my best, and the calling that God had on my life, I could be doing it, but now I can't do anything. But Paul was reminding the people, he was reminding Timothy, he was reminding Epaphroditus, that there's joy in Jesus. And maybe that's what you need to hear today, church. Maybe that's God's message specifically for you. You've been searching for joy in everything that this world can offer you, but yet today you honestly would say, I sit here empty. I don't have that inside of me. You know, I can put on a smile and I can put on a happy face, but the reality is I don't have the joy. Can I tell you something today? True, lasting, everyday joy can only be found in King Jesus. Only be found in him. Everything else that this world has to offer is going to be fleeing. So, Paul, he's writing from prison and he's telling people to have joy and he's sending his friends and he's sending his buddies and he's trying to be obedient to Christ. And then at the beginning of chapter 2, he starts telling of all of these wonderful characteristics of Jesus. He's telling the people in Philippians who Jesus was. And I'm so thankful for all those characteristics. But can we just be real this morning? It's really hard to live up to Jesus, right? I mean, he was perfect. And I look at his life and I'm like, man, that would be awesome if I could do that. That would be so cool if my kids and my wife, if our family was this way. But Paul was telling everybody to follow Jesus. But I think Paul understood this. Because he sent two people that are just like you and I. These two people, Timothy and Epaphroditus, I would say probably most of us in here can really relate to these two guys. Let me tell you about Timothy. Timothy was born of a dysfunctional family. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you were born into a dysfunctional family? How many of you, this is Timothy. And at this time, you got to understand, his father was a Greek and his mother was a Jew. That doesn't go real well together. I mean, he came from, he grew up in a single parent home. It was his mother and his grandmother. Some of you can relate to that. And so Timothy was just a normal guy, just like you and I. And then we got Epaphroditus, which simply means he belonged to an Aphrodite, which was a Greek god, okay? So Epaphroditus, his family, guess what they taught him? They taught him to serve Greek gods. Like, no, this ain't about God of heaven. This is about Zeus and all of these other crazy gods over here. And so Timothy and Epaphroditus, they're just like me and you. They're just like us. And here's these two ordinary men that Paul says, hey, church, I'm going to send these guys over to you. These are normal guys, and I want you to hear from these guys. And I think what really jumps out to me is Paul used these two examples, and listen to this. Because their lifestyle matched their words. The way that they lived their life matched their words. They didn't say one thing and live in a different way. You see, church, I think that today more than ever, this is mission critical for Christians. I want to do another science experiment since I'm already a scientist. I brought a Coke with me today. And I know that some of you are sitting here looking at this Coke going, something's not right. That's some weird looking Coke, Bobby. But here's what I believe. People in our world today, they want to know that the label that you wear in your life matches what's found on the inside. Does the label that you wear, the things that you claim in your life, does the label match what's on the inside? Because if you just look at this and you're like, something's off. Because it says it's Coke, but the reality is that does not look like Coke. You see, Paul was sending Timothy and Epaphroditus because the label that they wore, Christ follower, it matched the way they lived their lives. It wasn't two different things. You see, what was on the inside was the same thing that they were proclaiming on the outside. Now, understand what I'm saying today. It's not a bunch of rules that we have to follow and to get our life perfect and to make it look exactly right. But I believe that the way you live your life as a Christian is probably the most important aspect of your witness to other people. Right? The way that I live my life, the places I go, the words that I speak, the stuff that I post on social media, all, people are watching, right? And they want to make sure that the label is the same as what's going on the inside. So Paul is sending these two men, and he's telling all these people what these guys are about. And he gives these kind of lists of here's why I'm sending Timothy, here's why I'm sending Epaphroditus. And in this short little passage here, I think we can find some calls to God's followers. If you are a follower of Christ, if you are one who is striving after Jesus, then I think we can see some real good examples of significant calls that God puts in our life. Number one, let me give you these quick three. Number one, we see a call to love people. A call to love people. Paul's in prison, and he's writing a letter of encouragement. But he sends Timothy, and look at verse 20. Verse 20 says this, after he introduces Timothy. He says, I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care for your interests. Now think about that for a second. I have no one else that will care for you as a people like Timothy will. Timothy looked out for others. His mindset is what's best for the people around me. And that's so foreign to our mindset, right? To our world today. What's best for me? And Paul says, I have no one else like him. Now, when I read that, I get a little bit discouraged, right? Really? There's not a lot of people that love others? But I want you to think about this. For those of you that grew up in Sunday school, what's that passage of scripture that says the harvest is what? Is plentiful. There's a lot of people that need the Lord, but the laborers, we don't have a lot of those. We don't have a lot of people that are following the call to love people. I mean, something's messed up there. Wouldn't you agree? We got something off here. If this is a call from God, remember the second greatest commandment? Love God and what? Love people. And this second greatest commandment, Timothy, there's not many people like Timothy that care about people. If you are a follower of Jesus, listen to me. It's not a suggestion. It is a calling from God that your life would be used to love other people. And can I just tell you, you can't delegate this out to the people that you think are more churchy than you or to the pastors. You can't delegate this out. This is a call on your life. So let me say this today. Your yes matters. Why? Because people matter. Your yes to God's call to loving people around you, it matters. It matters big time that you love your neighbors. It matters big time that you love your coworkers and the students and your teammates, and it matters a big deal. Take a second and just think about the people that God's put in your life, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Who are some people in my life, God, that I can deposit joy into, that I can love on? We say this a lot around here. Who's somebody in my life that is close to me but far from God? God, bring me somebody that I can be close with, but they may be far from you. Why? So that I can deposit joy, so that I can love them and show them that what's inside matches the label that I It starts by answering the call to others. Number two, we see the second call of Timothy's life was a call to love the church. A call to love the church. So verse 20 says, I have no one else like-minded who will genuinely care about your interests. Then look what it says. All seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy was interested in what God was interested in. Timothy went to these folks interested in what God was interested in. So what are the interests of Christ? What are the interests of God? Well, we can go throughout the Bible and we can talk about that, but I want to just kind of focus on this one place, Ephesians 5:25, because I think what happened really tells us what God's interests are. He says, husbands, love your wives. Just what? Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up. If you're willing to die for something, it's probably pretty important to you, right? If you're willing to take a bullet, if you're willing to go on the cross for something, then it's probably a really big deal to you. And so here's Timothy, and it says, everybody else looks out for their own interest. They look out for their own self, but Timothy, he's interested in what God's interested in. Jesus died for his church. If you are going to die for something, it means that you love it. It means that you're passionate about it. And I want you to hear me today. And here's a truth that all of us need to get into our lives. The church is the context whereby God grows us and conforms us into the image of Christ. It is the context. It's not, maybe. It's not, once every while. It is the context. The church is the community where we learn to love God, where we learn to love others, where we grow, where we're strengthened, where we're transformed. The church of God, it's where his word is brought, where we learn how to pray, where we learn how to worship, where we learn how to serve together. The church is the context. I think we have to understand that the church matters because Jesus chose it to show the world the message of his love. The church is the hope of the world. So here's the a question of reflection that I want to encourage you to write down and just think about this week. Let it marinate, think about it, pray about it. Do I love God's church? Now, I want to take a time out here. And for those of you that are here in the room, we got some new folks. So those of you who are listening on our podcast, please hear my heart when I say this. I'm not just talking about City Hope Church, okay? I would love for every single one of you to be all in and love it and give and serve and man, just watch what we can do in our community, in our world as God uses us. But do I love the church, Big C Church? Do I love the church? And let me even go a little step further and let me say this. City Hope might not be your church, but let me just beg you to find one and be all in. Even if it's not here. That doesn't bother me one bit. If you go somewhere and you're serving and you're loving the Lord and you're growing and you're strengthening and you're discipling and you're evangelizing, go. Go find a church. Be all in. Parents, I can't think of anything more vital in your child's life as you're teaching them, as they're growing up. There's nothing more vital than teaching your children to love God's church, to serve, to lead, to give. Over the past 2.5 years as we've started City Hope, and man, it's just God's been doing some amazing things. I've had some conversations, even with some of you in the room today, and you've come up to me and you've shared with me, hey, listen, my son or my daughter, they started tithing. They started giving to the church, and I didn't even have to ask them. And just the joy that brought. And just a few months ago, Emma, our oldest daughter, she's got her little car now, so she thinks she's cool, and she drives around, and she's been doing some babysitting, okay? And you know, obviously, she's getting a little bit of money, and at the first, when she was babysitting, she would get the money, and it was like, you know, Target and outlets and Marshalls and TJ Maxx, and I'm like, okay. And then one day, she comes up to me after like a couple weeks of getting some babysitting money, and she's like, Dad, do I need to start giving to the church? And I'm like, well, if you're a good Christian and you want to go to heaven, yeah, you need to. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. I didn't say that. I might have thought it, but no. I said, well, Emma, we kind of talked about it. Well, God kind of asked us to give 10%, and that's our first 10%. And she said, well, can you help me? And so we sat down on the computer and we made her a little City Hope Church. What's it called? Planning Center. We got on Planning Center. I don't even know how to give here. We made her a little a document, and when we got on there, and we were able to give, and you know, it wasn't a huge amount of money, but to her, can I just tell you, as a dad, it was one of my proudest moments that I've ever had. And it was in our house. Nobody's ever going to see it. It's not going to be in the newspaper. It's not on a court. It's not on a field. Nobody. Her name's not in the paper. This is one of the greatest moments where she decided in her heart, I've never pushed my kids to do that. Hey, you know what? This is my obedience to what God's called me to do. And you know how much joy that brought to my life? I read this quote this week. You can be committed to church, but not committed to Christ. But you cannot be committed to Christ and not committed to church. We can go to church and we can put on the happy face, right? We can go to church and we can smile, but really the inside is struggling. We can go to church and serve and be committed to church, but not committed to Christ. But there's no way for me to love Jesus with everything I got and not serve and love his church the way that he calls us to. How well are you answering the call to love the church? Again, not just City Hope Church. How well am I answering the call to love the church, to serve with my time, my talent, my treasure? And can I just say this again? I say this with love. I know that Sundays are traditionally held as the day we go to church, right? It's the day that we attend church. But can I say this? It's really hard to get in shape spiritually if you're only working out on Sundays, all right? It's really hard to get in shape spiritually if you're only working out on Sundays. We aren't just talking about attending church. I'm talking about being all in, being engaged with who God says is his bride. The call in our lives is to love the church, and that's what Paul tells the Philippians that Timothy has this. And then number three, the last one, there's a call to love the gospel. There's a call for God's people to love the gospel. Look at verse 22. Again, he's talking about Timothy. You know his proven character. He has served with me in the gospel ministry like a son with the Father. over and over. Timothy has answered this call. Yes, I'll be obedient. Yes, I'll do it. And the gospel is the good news that God loves the world enough that he gave his only son to die for our sin. And I love this about Timothy. He had a desire in his heart to get the good news out. And if you read about Timothy's life, he was constantly being sent out from the church. Right? It's so cool. Hey, Timothy, the people over there in Colossae, they need to hear about Jesus. He's like, I'll go. Send me. Oh, the people over there in Ephesus, they need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear about God. Timothy says, I'll go. Send me. Oh, the people in Philippi, they need to hear about, I'll go. Send me, Jesus. I'm all in. How do I get to that place where I'm all in to serve and to love the gospel so much that God, my hands up, wherever you call me, whatever you want me to do, whoever you want me to have a conversation with, who do I need to text? Who do I need to call? Who do I need to take out to lunch? But here's the struggle, church. If I'm only caught up in my little world, I'm never going to change anyone else's. If I'm only caught up in my little world, I'm never going to lift my head up and answer the call to bless anyone, to change anyone's life with the gospel. Timothy, man, he received God's love and his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness, and the rest of his life was devoted to make sure that somebody else received it as well. That's the call for you and I to love the gospel. Paul says, as he's writing to the Romans, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. A songwriter, he used to write some older songs. Some of you grew up in church, you probably know Stephen Curtis Chapman, you probably remember that name. He says, in the gospel, we discover we're far worse off than we thought and far more loved than we ever dreamed. For the sake of time, I don't have time to jump into Epaphroditus, but he did the same thing, man. He loved the Lord, he took risks, he went to different places. Why? Because he wanted people to experience God's love and God's goodness and God's grace. He got it, he experienced it, and he took some risks to make sure other people around him. So let's bring all this back to what we started with today, joy. How do I have joy? How do I get the joy on the inside of my life so that when trials come, when fires come, when hard things come, I don't just bust and I fly off the handle and I explode. How do I get the joy truly down in my heart? I think it's this: Christ-like characteristics produce joy. Christ-like characteristics produce joy. When I'm being obedient, I'm answering the call that God's put on my life. Guess what's going to happen? Life isn't just going to be perfect and rosy and everything's great. But when it does come, I know my obedience is the thing that I can lean on. That I can have joy because, hey, I'm living this life that God's called me to live. A life of joy is found in being humble and submissive. You want to have joy in your life, not just fleeing happiness? Be humble. Be submissive to God's word. I want to close today with this story. This short story. Put it here on the screen. I want you to read along with me. Not out loud, but just read there in your seats, because I think it's such a powerful tell to how we can have joy in our lives. It says this: in the 11th century, King Henry III of Bavaria grew tired of court life, the pressures of being a monarch. He made application to Prior Richard at a local monastery, asking to be accepted as a contemplative and spend the rest of his life in the monastery. Your Majesty, said Prior Richard, do you understand that the pledge here is one of obedience? That's going to be really hard because you've been a king. He says, I understand, said Henry. The rest of my life, I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you. Look what he says. And I'll tell you what to do. Go back to your throne, serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. When King Henry died, a statement was written: the king learned to lead by being obedient. Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. That's the call that God's put on our lives. We're not kings and queens in here, but we have homes. We have neighborhoods and we have workplaces and we have our sphere of influence. Go back to your sphere of influence and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. Paul was a leader because he said yes to God's call in his life. Timothy was a leader. He changed people's lives. Why? Not because he was great. He came from a dysfunctional family. He was a leader because he was obedient to God's call. Epaphroditus was a leader because he was obedient to who God called him to be. Church, let's be obedient to the call that God's put on our lives. Let's fill our lives up. Fill the inside up with joy and go out and show the world that we can love people. We can love people. We can love God's church. We can love the gospel. As we wrap up today, I want to close with just a few questions for you to think about. As a matter of fact, let's do this. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes as we kind of wind down here. Don't check out on me yet. So feel like God's stirring in some of your hearts right now today. Let me ask you this first question. Have you allowed your situation to hinder your submission to God? Well, I don't understand this and this job and this relationship and this finance and this health report. I don't understand. Have you allowed your situation to hinder your submission? If you allow your circumstances to define you, guess what, church? They're going to defeat you. Just because this is happening to me, it doesn't mean I can't have joy. It doesn't mean I can't still say yes. Now, here's a really humbling question that man, I was just challenged with so deeply this week. Is my life worth imitating? Is my life worth imitating? Is there people that are watching my life and they're saying, man, I want what that guy has. I want what that, there's something different about her. I challenged our students this past week at Beach Camp. I challenged our seniors and our juniors, and I challenged them. I said, hey, there's some sixth graders that need to see that it's good to love Jesus. It's good to follow Jesus, and that it can happen when I'm in high school. Parents, some kids in your house that need to know it's okay to say yes to Jesus. It's okay to be a little different and be set apart. It's okay to love God's church and love people and to love the gospel. What's it going to take to bring the gospel to every person in the low country? It's going to take some of us standing up and saying, yeah, I'll be obedient. God, send me. Joy is something that I believe that every single human being has an internal desire to long for. We all want joy. How are you getting it? Being obedient to God's call, being submissive to the call on your life, I believe is the solution. If you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that's step one. You got to get that inside before anything else changes. And in moments like this, and God's stirring in your heart, and you say, man, I don't have that relationship with Jesus. Well, it's one of the greatest things that I love about God. He gives you the choice. He's not going to force you to love him. It's up to you. And some of you probably sitting here today, your choice today is, do I want to give my life to Jesus, or do I want to keep doing things my way? That's your choice. And if you're here today, you're in a great place because there's people here that have been praying for you. There's people here that love you. We may not even know your name yet. But I promise you, we've been praying for you. And today, if you're ready to make that decision to give your life to Christ, then we want to give you an opportunity. Here in a minute, I'm going to pray. We're going to give some announcements, and then we're going to head our way. We have a prayer room. Our pastors will be up here in the front. If you're ready to take that step and give your life to Christ, stop by. I'll be up here in the front and say, hey, Pastor Bobby, I want to give my life to Christ.
Maybe you're here today and God's stirring in your heart about answering the call. The reality is you don't love people the way that God's called you to love people. It's a little harsh, but it's true. And God's stirring in your heart, man, I need to love better. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't love the church like God calls you to love the church. And he's calling you to be all in. He's calling you to love his bride, the thing that he laid his life down for. Maybe God's speaking to you today about loving the gospel. There's people in your life that you need to pick up the phone and you need to share the good news. You know it, and you've just been putting it off. Whatever God's speaking to you about this morning, would you be obedient? Father, I pray that City Hope Church would always be a church full of people who are passionate about following you, who are passionate about seeing other people experience you. Lord, I pray today for those that are in this room that the Holy Spirit's stirring, there's conviction, and God, would we answer the call? And Lord, I pray that through obedience, you would fill our lives up with so much joy that the world around us can see that there's something different. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for who you are and all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.